In 2010, something really important happened. I recruited someone that was actually better than me. He didn't beat me in his first year. The second year, he demolished me in almost every metric. And I was never once envious. I was never once jealous. I was joyful. I was proud. That's when I knew I was meant to be a leader.
You're listening to the Blacktop Banter Podcast, the premier podcast in the asphalt industry, made for contractors with contractors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Blacktop Banter. We're in person at Blacktop Banter, man. I'm super excited about this. So about once every couple months, I get to do some in-persons. And we had some here lined up, but strange change of events, work schedules. I'm traveling a lot. My guests are traveling a lot. So we had to cancel a couple. But this one, we're fortunate enough, you're within an hour. Right? So you can make the trip.
Took less than an hour to get here, even in the snow.
Yeah. Yeah, we have plenty of snow. I seen your truck covered, right? The front of it's covered, which is typical for this time of year. Our trucks aren't going to be pretty. Our vehicles aren't going to be pretty for another 5 months.
They just need to be effective. No Priuses in our way.
Yeah. I mean, and yours is lifted up enough if they are, and they're backwards. You could drive right up the road if you wanted to. Right. Get over the back, dude, on the road. So, yeah, it's crazy. No snow. Mild weather, and 2 days after Christmas, here we are with the snow. So you guys are listening to this a little bit in the spring, so hopefully the winter is over with. But for us, it's just after Christmas. And you heard him talk here a little bit. My guest today is Josh Kosnick. He's the owner and owner and founder of Kairos Coaching and Consulting LLC, a veteran entrepreneur, leadership coach, mentor, and consultant by trade. Not afraid to ask the tough questions, an open book. Josh is thoughtful and a skilled coach and consultant who thoroughly enjoys guiding people to achieve their full potential. With 20 plus years of managerial experience, including 17 years in the financial services industry, provide insightful perspective, direct feedback, systematic accountability, and you help clients get to their follow through, which is fun because that's a tough thing for people to do, man. It's like, we've got 3 days till the new year. You know how many new gym memberships are going to be signed up? And then how many people don't go back after 60, 30 days?
That's 85% by February.
Yeah.
And how do I know that? Because one part that's not in my bio is that my wife and I used to own an Anytime Fitness franchise.
Yeah, man. So, like, I fully prepared to not go to the gym for January and February. Like, Eli and I grabbed a few things. Eli's my son. Wrestling starts up pretty soon. We grabbed a few things. We're doing home workouts, right, for a while because it's going to be packed and we don't have time on our schedules to do it. So we'll be working out at home. But follow-through is a big thing, man. And in our world, I guess, if you want to talk about the entrepreneurial world, high-level coaching, like our group of guys that we run with, you don't really get that conversation of follow-through because we talk about discipline. Consistency, mm-hmm. Right? For us, it's not follow through. It's getting back on most of the time. Like if you take a week off, I was gone a week on vacation and like I'm itching to get back on. So I think we do a little bit of that with goal setting and whatnot, but we'll get into that a little bit later. You and I have a unique connection, man. And it's fun because as we got talking and as we've got to know each other a little bit more, we're connected in more ways than what we thought, but I'll flash through the story real quick. Last year, I was in Charlotte. We hosted the Blacktop Banter kickoff event, which if you're listening to this, hopefully you attended in San Antonio at the end of January 2024, which is weird to say because it's in the future as we sit here. But that we did the Blacktop Banter kickoff event at a conference there in Charlotte. My team was with me. I was explaining to a young lady who was on my team, hey, you got to get out of your comfort zone. That's where the best opportunities are. And she's like, I just can't. She's like, so you can just talk to anybody? I was like, yeah, like point somebody out. And as we were boarding the plane, she points to you in front of me. And as I'm boarding the plane, I stop. I'm like, hey, man, I'm Marvin. I noticed your shirt had Arte logo on it. I'm like, I'm also a member
small,
of Arte.
Just on the chest.
Right? Just on the chest. Yeah, I'm an observationist. And that's where our conversation started. So then you're like, hey, hit me up. I think it was on LinkedIn. Yeah. You're like, hey, hit me up on LinkedIn or
Instagram.
Or Instagram. Yeah. I was Instagram.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, so from like 12 rows back, you and I start texting and I let you know where I'm at here in Wisconsin or whatever. Fast forward, we get into a conversation. I talk to that girl that was on my team and say, hey, yeah, actually, you know, he worked here and here. And she's like, oh, that's where my boyfriend's brother worked, was with Josh. We get talking. find out that we're connected there. The her boyfriend worked for me. So then the young man worked with you. We're connected again. Then we have another conversation about my friend Brian Hess, who's been a really close friend of mine. I would say probably one of my top five friends for a long time. You're like, Brian Hess out of Pittsburgh? I'm like, yeah, man. Like, I'm in a group with him.
Yeah.
So here we are connected.
And John Rosenberg.
John Rosenberg as well. Yep, a good family friend. I go to church with him right over here. Dude, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Right? But here's the thing. I keep telling people about this. I refer to it as a cylinder, but a lot of people talk about it as a pyramid. Lately, I've been saying it's a mountain. The higher you climb on that thing, the less people are there, the less area that covers, and the more you get to know the people that have made that trek all the way up there. And America, at first glance, when you're like a young man, you're like, it's huge. There's millions of people. As you get going and you climb that mountain, all of a sudden you're like, dude, there's only so many people mm-hmm. who have made it up this high. And we all collectively get together and talk and have figured things out. And that's kind of our story, dude.
Great conversations.
Amazing conversations. We improve each other's lives. I believe bring fullness to each other's lives. And the more you get of that, the better life you live, essentially. But yeah,
that's actually one great takeaway for everyone just to kick off. If there's nothing else worth climbing the mountain, that's it. If you want to get rid of all the bullshit, all the fakeness, all the periphery friends that you don't know are real or not, you want to get rid of all that, climb the mountain.
Yeah.
If nothing else.
Yeah.
If you're like, oh, I just don't care about the money, or I don't care about being a big name or an influencer or stuff like that, climb the mountain for real.
Yeah.
Because up here, people are having real conversations. You have real friendships, people that you can call on at 3 a.m. if you actually needed
that.
Like, it's real up here.
Yeah, they understand you, right? And like, you wouldn't understand them if you didn't climb the mountain. Like, I'll talk in regards to Brian, right? Brian and I had a conversation the other day, and it was like, I have a coaching group. I hate using the word coaching, but we have a mastermind group of guys that look to me to provide information and insight and provide for them those types of things, those experiences to help push them on their journey. And at first glance, when people sign up for the Blacktop Aaron Success Group, they send you their credit card, they pay for something, and they hold their hand out like, here, put it right here. Like, I'm buying something. And you're like, okay, like, this is what you get. Well, then, like, well, you're not really calling me, you know, like, you know, you're my resource. Like, well, yeah, a book doesn't jump off the shelf and open to the page and show you. Like, you have to use this. And there's a contrast of guys. One of them is a good friend of mine now, but one of our members, James. And when James started, he didn't understand that concept. Once he grasped that, dude, his whole world changed. He went from 0 to 6 figures this year by being in the success group, by utilizing the tool. And here's the thing. Brian and I had this conversation. Like, it's not that I'm not available to you. It's just that I'm not sitting around wondering what everybody else is doing.
I wonder what James is doing this morning. Did he wake up on time?
I bet he did, dude. And I bet he's grinding.
But right, I know, now. But that's not your first thought as you wake up.
Yeah. I mean, are you struggling? Like, I check in with these guys, but I'm your resource. Dude, if I have time, which I make time, if I'm not available and don't answer the call, you better believe I'm going to get back to you. Mm-hmm. You and I do that. Same. Like, we connect. It might be a day or 2 days later, but we have a lot going on, a lot of high level stuff that's very important. And it's not that it's more important than what you have on your mind. It's just that we are weaving things in as we go. And that's the kind of thing that we're starting to figure out here, is that we have to be open in that regard as well, of, hey, we're providing something, yes, but also we need to provide the knowledge that we're a resource.
Yeah.
Right. And we provide resources. We're here for you, but also your community is. The people that are climbing that mountain with you, that are in the Blacktop Banner Success Group or in Kairos, like, they're your resource too. Like, we're just creating the atmosphere, and we're in it too. Like, I learn a lot from my guys.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting too? You think if we take that a step further to Arete.
Mm-hmm.
Ed and Andy are so far out in front of all of us.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's, and I know 9-figure guys in Arete.
Mm-hmm.
But Ed and Andy are so far out in front of us.
Yep.
That it's those the people in the community, you and I, like, we get more from each other because we're in the day-to-day trenches that they're already past.
Yeah.
So same for some people in your group or in my group.
Yep.
Is like, those people in the trenches may be a better resource right now than you or I because we're so far past that point.
Yeah, totally. There's guys that are in our group that, here's the other thing too. You got to take personality into it as well. As I was explaining to you, and as I'm sure you found out that we've become friends, I'm unique. A lot of my close friends, although they are personally unique, they're not much different than guys that are climbing that mountain and trudging. I'm the guy that sits, looks at the tree and the butterfly on the mountain halfway up, wonder how it's still alive up here, why I'm seeing it and all that stuff. Where my dudes are, a lot of my close friends are looking at the flag and they're like, dude, I'm getting up there. A lot of guys resonate with them better than they resonate with me. But the struggles that I focus on aren't what those guys focus on. So when the roadblock comes for that struggle, guess who gets called? Guess who gets put in check? It's mm-hmm. my turn, right?
Yeah.
That's what we do. We're a community. We're here to build each other up and do that. But yeah, it's been a unique journey as far as that goes. And what it's forced me to do, I just got off a call with somebody earlier on a podcast, is I asked them the question, like, what's the deal with leadership? Because there's two ways about it. One, you're scared of it, which is my big thing. Like, I'm scared of the responsibility of it, what it means, the person that I have to be in order to do that, as well as my mentors and the people that I look up to, which I've come to find out after speaking with them, can look however I want it to look, which is fantastic, right? As long as it's doing what it should be doing. And then there's the other side of it, looking at that and saying, this is going to be work. I got to put in work. I have to educate myself. I have to become a person of character. I have to do these things. And a lot of people, they don't want to do that. They're just downright lazy, right? So it becomes two things, laziness or fear is why they don't want to do it. And then there's unicorns, man, guys that just love it. Like, they want to be that leader. They're good at it. They're talented, right? There's guys that you see that, like, basketball players, right, that are effortless, just talent, right? They don't go to all the practices. Like Rodman's story, right? Rodman would go to Vegas and then fly back for the game and –
Oh, Michael Jordan rebounds. Had to go get him.
Yeah.
I was a Bulls fan growing up, so I know Michael that story.
Michael was like, hey, man, he's going to be here. Yeah, we got to go get him. Yeah. And the dude was just talented. So there's guys that are naturally really good talent at leadership, right? Whether that's their atmosphere they were brought up in or whatever. But there's these things, man, that leadership is getting tossed around so much this year. Every seminar I go to, every conference I go to, if it's not solely focused on leadership, leadership is a huge part of it. And before, it was one of those kind of like sub-level boxes that these companies seem to check, right? You're a good leader? Okay. But now, with the workforce and the unique environment that is, we're having to harbor it, right? And make it at the forefront and develop these skills in people who may not have naturally went that route. So that's kind of where I want to break into our conversation, man.
I love it.
Because
my favorite topic.
I know, man. I know. And you've done really well with it, you know, in your career. And the amount of value that is in somebody who can do it well, to me, is immeasurable. Right. And the resource that you have in those people who can do it very well, like yourself, is invaluable. So let's jump into it and get into the conversation body of today's topic, which is leadership in general. So it's, like I said, it's a word that's getting tossed around a lot lately. And I think some people think that if they're the owner and they have people hired, they're the leader and they're good at it, their way or the highway, which we've come to find out isn't the case. Right. People leave companies because of that mindset and different things. So let's break it down with your definition.
So that used to be the case, by the way.
Yeah, for sure.
Our parents' generation, that was the case.
For sure.
And the problem is nowadays people have options.
Oh, for sure.
And that's where leadership has changed. But yeah, I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, it's similar. Like we had some guests on that were employment specialists. And they're like, hey, guys, these people aren't going to work for you the way you want them to just because you're paying them, right? Like, the things have changed. So, and the group that they were speaking to, which they come on the podcast and spoke, were a lot of older individuals where they hadn't thought that way before, mm-hmm. right? Like, it doesn't make sense to them. So then to have somebody explain it means that you're trying to rewire something in the brain that is hardwired in there. Like, yeah, but that's how it is. You get paid and you work and you go home and pay your bills with that money. That's it. But that's not the case anymore. So give us your definition of leadership, man. Like, define it for me today.
I'll tell a story. I'll start with John Maxwell says leadership is influence, nothing more. The reason that every conference over the last year that you've been to has talked about leadership, because leadership is everything. But I'll tell the story like this. My dad was that guy. It's my way or the highway.
I got you.
And I was in the firm with him. I fought it tooth and nail because I'm the oldest of four, oldest son. And I was very much like him. I am very much like him, I should say. And at those younger 20s age, the teenager to younger 20, I didn't want to hear a word that man had to say. Right? So then I begrudgingly joined his firm after being told no for a raise at Best Buy.
Yeah.
I was a sales manager at Best Buy. I got told no for a raise, and I was running the number three store in the country. I'm like, yeah, I got to go.
Yeah.
I got to be in control of my own destiny. So I go into financial services, become a financial advisor. You know, I go see him because he had been in that. So I had seen the lifestyle that it could provide. I had seen what he had built for our family, take us from lower class to upper middle class.
Yep.
I saw that journey because I was 9 months old when he started. Now, as I grew in that business, I decided that I'm going to go down this leadership path. So half of my business was growing my own personal practice. Half of it was recruiting and developing people. I fought tooth and nail going towards his position, owning the firm.
Yeah.
Because of how he treated the position. Mm. I had to have these epiphanies, like how he brought that work home, the stress that he had on his plate, because he was everything. He didn't have a leadership team when he started. He took over the number, there's 105 operations in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
He took over number 103.
Dang, man. So he had a mountain to
climb. He had a mountain to climb. Dang, he had virtually no advisors, no staff. He built everything. So he was the recruiter, the developer, everything. And so it was his way or the highway as he built that. But as he built leaders, including myself, so he took over 93, I came in 05.
Yep.
And there was two leaders right before me, 03 and 04 and 05.
Yep.
Those were like three key leaders that he had that he was building. Come 2011, he's starting to see the writing on the wall of us wanting more collaboration.
Yep.
Is we want to be part of the decisions. We're helping you build this place right now. We want to be part of it. And so him and I behind closed doors are like fists. Like the other two leaders sometimes got uncomfortable.
Yep.
Because you got father and son going at it.
Yep.
And part of that angst was he was so used to do his way or the highway, because that's how he was the only person and had to lead that way.
Yep.
And grew that from 103 to in the 40s.
Dang, man.
In one of the smallest markets in the country.
Yep.
In Madison, Wisconsin.
Yep.
So it was through grit and blood, sweat and tears and late nights, and then also coming home and kind of taking it out on me and mom.
For sure.
And I took it because I was trying to spare the younger siblings. Now, I will say this. I was an asshole teenager too. So I was not a walk in the park for him to come home and take it out on either. But I fought that wanting to take over for him because of how he treated the position. It wasn't the position. It was how he handled
it
and the circumstances that he took over. Now, me helping him build this in that time frame and having a couple other great leaders on the team, me being chosen by that Fortune 100 company to succeed him and taking over, I had a much easier path because we had built through tooth and nail, all the grit that he took to build this thing, and then the leaders that he helped develop, I was taking over a much different operation.
Yeah.
But he saw the writing on the wall, and so there was a mandatory retirement age at 65 for that firm.
Okay.
And he chose to retire at 61 because his way of leading, everything that he had ever known and leading, is gone.
Yeah.
So it moved from a directive leadership style, which he had grown up with through his father and the people that he looked up to and how he had to lead, to now a collaborative style. So you ask the difference. It's gone from that directive, hey, do as I say, my way or the highway, or else you don't have a paycheck, to, hey, we want to collaborate and be part of the decision. What you find out in that is people don't fight the plan when they're a part of the plan.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's kind of what defines it nowadays, right? Like it's, and you know, our guests and other people that we've had on, as it's changing. It has changed, right? You talk 2011, right, to now. It's changed so much since then. And you talk about the last 2 years, right? It's definitely changed since then. And you find that, like, there's an example of Hy-Vee, the grocery stores, mm-hmm. right? And they their ads are for employees, right? Like, that's what the ads they put out mm-hmm. are for employees. And their employees look all different. And they're like, yeah, you this is home. You find a place here. And then you do what you do in order to build the whole. And it gives them each a bit of, hey, we want to build whatever you're building here. And I'm sure if it starts actually in the store, it definitely starts in it's in corporate as yeah. well, right? Building up and going through. So the definition of it has changed. But ultimately, you referred to that John Maxwell quote right away, right? Where it's yeah. influence, right? It's influence in everything. Well, they want to be able, your collaborators want to be able to influence you as well. Therefore, that, like your dad's old way, right? Just being, hey, man, this is hard nose. This is how it is all the way down. Doesn't work with that, right? So the younger generations are more adapt to it. In your dad's defense, I mean, the guy ran a long, hard race and was far in front. You know, I think that some of these guys get to that point and they're like, hey, man, I'm not about to change anything. I can see the finish line. I'm coasting. I'm good to roll to there. But that's the personal side versus the larger picture, which the larger picture is we're a community. This is an entity. This is an organization that we got to keep moving.
Right? Oh, had the company not chosen me, he may have gone that path.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But he had a son that was his legacy to take over. And yeah. again, it was kind of a unique scenario where he wasn't choosing the successor. Yeah. The Fortune 100 company was. I just happened to put myself in a position where I was the only choice.
Yeah.
Like I created an undeniable resume yeah. that, because they were fighting it. They didn't want to have a nepotism look.
Yeah.
So I created an undeniable choice with my resume that they weren't going to give yeah. it to anyone
Which
else.
Which meant you had to work harder.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I had that target on my back from the get-go.
Yeah.
So you got to lead by example all the way.
Did you, would you change that? Do you think that the target on your back was a positive thing now in the long term?
Oh, I hated it. I hated the fact that, but to answer your question, it made me better.
Yeah.
Right. So it was one of those things where I've always been a strong competitor. Like sports was my thing. School wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
And so I've always been a strong competitor, really solid athlete. And in sales, love sales, love to compete in sales. That's how I became a sales manager at Best Buy so quickly at a young age. When I dropped out of school, they're like, hey, want to be a sales manager? I'm like, sure. Sounds good. I'm sure I'd be great at that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, I could compete through that, but it was interesting having that target on your back just because of your last name. As soon as yeah. you walk in the door, it's like, oh, is he just going to get handed the keys? It's like, okay, no, I'm going to go improve it. So what does it take to be successful? We're 100 lives, or basically 100 sales in your first year, right? Do 100 lives. Okay, then make $100,000. Then make $1 million round table. Then this. And I just kept crazy, knocking man. Off this. Other. And in my head, I'm sitting there going, oh, then they'll accept me. Oh, then I'll be considered worthy.
Yep.
But I'm just gonna like just keep checking these things off, keep proving yep. my worth. And you know what's interesting? Over time, most of that was probably in my head.
Yeah.
I had probably removed all doubt a long time before that.
Yeah.
But in my head, I'm like, I'm just gonna keep proving myself, prove myself, so yeah. that there is no doubt, and then no one can say just because his last name was Kosnick that he got where he is.
Yeah, I think that happens more often than you think. I think here locally, I have a similar story, but it's flipped. The because of my last name, there was a target where everybody was holding their breath, waiting for what they expected to happen. And I haven't done that, right? I went the opposite way with success, building businesses, determination, giving back to my community, giving back in a lot of different ways, and just not being what they expected somebody with my last name to be, right? But at the same time, it developed a set of goals of, I'm going to hit this so they can't say that. Same way you had. I'm going to hit this so that they can't say that and make it undeniable, right, when we get there. And I think what happens is eventually, by osmosis and by that route, it develops you into a person who cannot do what they expect,
mm-hmm.
right, or what they hope you do. You end up doing exactly what you set out to do. By having that target on your back and that chip, it forms you into that type of person. Like I can't, it's not in me to mess up now and do what they expected me to be 15 years ago, right? 20 years ago. Like, it ain't going to happen. So one thing I want to ask you before we get on to the next part about that journey on your end is, during that process, obviously Josh now isn't who Josh was then. What happened along that route, right? When you said, hey, we got to do 100 lives and then, or 1,000 lives and then, or I mean, $1 million round table. Like, Josh, 20-year-old Josh didn't know how to do that.
Mm-mm.
So how did you do that along that journey?
So when I dropped out of school, my dad handed me Think and Grow Rich.
Oh, Napoleon. Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
Which is, my outside of the Bible, my all-time favorite book. Mm-hmm. And I read it once a year to this day. And I couldn't put that book down. And it was something that struck me because, again, I told you guys I wasn't a good student. I couldn't read because I was ADD. I wasn't diagnosed till I was 25.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 43 today, and just back when I was in school, that wasn't as big of a thing. Like, teachers didn't know what to do with me. Like,
you're hyper.
Well, not just that. They're just like, dude, you got so much potential.
Oh, really?
And why do you always wait till the last minute? And like, I thrive under pressure, baby.
Yeah. I like the deadlines. Push me a little farther. Yeah. That's what it is.
My parents hated it. But I could, you know, so it was just one of those things where I didn't know until I started taking these investment exams and trying to study.
Yeah.
I couldn't read past a page.
Yeah.
And so I would go to get diagnosed, and it really changed things for me. But those personal development books and continuously working on myself was something. Now that I was out of school and I was going to school for myself, the school of life, I fell in love with it.
Yeah.
So any personal development thing I could get my hands on, whether it be books, mentors, coaches, groups, I'm in.
Dang, really?
And so I went hard.
Because you became really proactive.
Just really proactive, yeah. And I sought a mentor, a coach, that I paid the outside of my father.
Mm-hmm.
Because although everything he was telling me was right, I didn't want to hear it from him.
For sure.
So I paid actually his mentor, his coach, who was a legend in leadership in that company. And he played in the NFL. And just I had the utmost respect for this man.
Yep.
And so he could say the same words my dad said, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to listen to John. So I had him as a coach for 15 years.
Cool.
Amazing man. I can't say enough. And so those little things. And then you also, the evolution of getting married and having kids and becoming wanting to be a better person for your children and your legacy and for all this different stuff. And then you make these choices of, hey, you start to ask questions and have people ask questions of you. Is like, where am I finding the most joy? Like, because in the industry that I was in, I could make just as much money being personal production, being a great financial advisor, as I could in leadership. In some cases, even more.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, my joy is actually more in developing other people instead of just building my own wealth over here.
Yeah.
And so I started leaning more towards that. And then as I built out the firm, I just really developing other leaders, really developing other next level people. So when I sold the firm, now I was like, man, I'm just going to lean into that. I think I told you as that firm ended and that run ended after that, I drew a line down a piece of paper.
Yep.
T-chart style, like an accountant, even though I would never be one.
Neither,
but really on one side, I said, hey, what did I love about my previous life, my previous role? What did I hate? And then I asked the question, what if I could create a world that I just did the stuff that I loved and mitigate or eliminate all the stuff I hated? HR, compliance, egotistical people I don't want to be around.
Yeah, for sure.
Because in my firm, there's like people I love and there's people like, yeah, I could do without, you know, just some narcissistic people.
Yep.
But they were good producers and they didn't, you know, necessarily kill the culture, but they're people I could not necessarily spend time with.
Perfect.
So like if I could create a world where I just spent time with people that I loved, that I love pouring into, and then my unique genius, my skill set of just pouring into people, developing great leaders, I'm gonna create a world like that and lean into that. Cool. And that's what I've done.
So, you know, during that process, you ended up creating a group of people, like this atmosphere, right, that you describe off that T-chart where it has everything you love in it. Once again, by looking forward and saying, hey, I want to do this, this is what I want to create, you end up creating something that forms you into a certain type of person, but also creates something as a byproduct where the people that you're pouring into and the people that you're surrounding yourself with are the type of people who will form you into this person who is happy where they're at, that wants to pour in harder because these people appreciate it. They're not egotistical, right? What results have you personally experienced by surrounding yourself with upper echelon individuals? Because the people that you pour into all the time aren't always there. But what I find is it's like a conveyor belt almost, where we're all rocks on this conveyor belt and it's moving up, right? So the person who I was 10 years ago might be who my buddy James is now, right? Mm. And I'm 10 years in front, right? We talk about Ed and Andy. They move up. And as I said, the closer you get to the mountain, the less people there are there, right? The closer you get to the peak. But you've surrounded yourself with upper echelon individuals, as I have as well. And I think it's pretty prevalent if people knew us, they knew Josh at 22 and they knew Marvin at 22, they would see a big difference between who these people are now. Yes, it's been a lot of education through our journeys. Yes, it's been a lot of goal setting and hitting those goals, but a lot of it is the people that you surround yourself with. So what positive results have you experienced by surrounding yourself with people like your coach? I recently got to see some of your content on some of your posts and whatnot, and you're around some pretty fast moving dudes, like literally and metaphorically. what results have you seen from that?
Man, so I want to back up because I missed a key piece of the story.
Okay.
In 2010, and this will actually tie into the question, but it made me think of it. In 2010, something really important happened. I recruited a guy named Carl. Mm-hmm. And remember, I told you that I was super competitive and wanted to win on everything.
Yep.
I recruited someone that was actually better than me in almost every way. And so I always wanted to recruit someone to run with me, to push me, to be better, stuff of that nature. It never once crossed my mind that I would recruit someone that would kick my ass in like every facet. And when I found out, that was actually a key pivotal moment, because he didn't beat me in his first year. The second year, he demolished me.
Yeah.
And in almost every metric. And I was never once envious. I was never once jealous. I was joyful.
Yeah.
I was proud.
Yeah.
That's when I knew I was meant to be a leader.
Yeah.
If you're one that's more envious or jealous or spiteful that someone's beating you, that you have influence over, you're not meant to be a leader. Mm. That's a key thing. That's a red flag, big red flag.
Yeah.
You should stay in personal production. You should stay doing what you're doing. Stay in that lane. Don't ever go into leadership. Mm. Because not only will you hate it, you'll have some negative influences on other people. That's a narcissistic trait. And by the way, narcissists can make really good salespeople. They should never be a leader.
I'm incredibly proud of the Blacktop Banner Edition Seal Coating Unit, produced in partnership with KM International and available in both 550 and 700 gallon versions. Custom built on the same frame as their bulletproof hot boxes, I work closely with KM to design what I believe is the best seal coating unit on the market, a unit designed by a contractor for contractors. Learn more about the unit and to see a walkthrough of the entire unit by visiting kminternational.com.
If you're serious about efficiency and performance, listen up. The Kraftco SuperShot 125 is not just a melter, it's a strategic pavement maintenance advantage. Quick startups, fume-free, automatic agitator shutoff, a splash-proof lid, and pumping on demand, these features are essential for any serious asphalt maintenance contractor. So don't settle for mediocrity. Elevate your game with the Kraftco SuperShot line of melters by visiting kraftco.com today.
In my opinion, Dynapac CC900G Roller is the best roller on the market for driveway and small parking lot paving contractors. The seismic technology in these rollers is unbeatable for the smoothness and compaction they provide, and I choose the Dynapac CC900G over the little yellow roller that you're used to seeing every single time. But don't just take my word for it. Check them out in person at Pavex and World of Asphalt, or visit Dynapac.com to find a dealer near you.
Hey, Blacktop Banner fans, this is Michael with Aquafault. Say goodbye to potholes and roadway damage without the need for large crews, heavy equipment, or toxic chemicals. Aquafault is the only permanent repair material for asphalt and concrete that uses water. And installation is simple. Just pour, add water, and tamp. It's that easy. An Aquafault repair can be open to traffic immediately and fully sealed within 24 hours. Plus, the product is backed by a 3-year warranty and made in the USA. Visit aquafault.com. That's AQUAPHALT.com to learn more.
In the past year, Jobber has been our CRM of choice at Wiscode, and it's made our world exponentially better efficiency-wise. The request to quote and quote to invoice process is seamless and professional. The scheduling aspect keeps us on point and the team leaders moving throughout the day from project to project, while the timesheet feature tracks the team members' hours. For our small seal coating company, it has helped build the solid foundation we can scale from. Jobber is now a sponsor of Blacktop Banter and helps bring this show to you. With this partnership, Jobber is offering an exclusive savings to BB listeners of 20% off for 6 months. To take advantage of this, find the Jobber link in the show description and get to improving your process today.
Hi, contractors. It's Kyla from Wiscoat. We use Stencil Plus for all of our pavement marking stencils, alphabet letters, numbers, directional arrows, handicap markings, you name it. We use it and we get it all from Stencil Plus. Right now, for a limited time, you can save 10% on your stencil order by using code BB10 during checkout at stencilplus.com or by calling 877-372-6055.
Contractors, you need to make it easy for potential customers to reach you. Get a custom phone number from the 800 Pavement Network and plaster it on the side of your trucks and rigs, and I guarantee you'll see increases in leads and jobs booked. Get yours by calling 1-800-728-3636.
World of Asphalt is the leading asphalt trade show and conference, and it'll be taking place on March 25th through the 27th, 2024, in Nashville, Tennessee. From mainline to maintenance, the show will be your one-stop shop to see everything the asphalt industry has to offer. Registration is now open, and listeners can save 20% off registration with the code BB20 when they register on worldofasphalt.com.
I will say this, Carl's become one of my best friends to this day, and we push each other in different ways. But I think it's really cool to be able to say, hey, don't just go recruit people that you can boss or lead. Recruit your equal. Recruit someone that can whoop your ass.
Yeah.
Recruit someone that is going to, like, that diversity and thought that's going to challenge you and make you a better person. So I'll take that from the bottom of the conveyor belt, where Carl caught up real fast and then surpassed me. Not unnecessarily. He always looked at me as the leader, but what's interesting about that is I would lay awake on Sunday nights and think about, he's doing everything I'm asking. Like, how am I going to challenge this? We have our meeting Monday morning. Like, how the fuck am I going to challenge this guy tomorrow and give him something new that'll actually, little did I know that he's soaking up every word of me and really appreciating the influence I'm having on his life and how I'm changing his life. And I'm laying in bed at night going, okay, I got to come up with a new way to challenge this dude. And like, and that's good. That's healthy. Yeah. And that's what you want. Yes. If you're laying up at night as a leader, figuring out how you're going to motivate the team and how you're going to challenge these people to become better, that is good.
Yeah.
That means you are meant to be a leader. That means you are meant to do something great and have influence over people. Now, going up the conveyor belt, having those people that are out in front of you, so Brian, for example, and Brian Hess, he was on my podcast recently, and I got to publicly thank him because we're in a Bible study together that we meet with weekly. And 2.5 years ago, when I sold the firm, it wasn't a happy sale. I think I told you this, but I had an advisor that was truly kind of an evil person that sued me for discrimination, and the company bailed on me to save themselves from the lawsuit. They had to buy me out and all, which all ended up fine. Mm-hmm. But the point of me saying that is I'm going through this lawsuit for 2 years. Well, Brian had been going through one for four.
Yep.
Three at the time, but now four. And he just gave me such great wisdom and asked me a couple great questions that put things in perspective to help me through it. Because in those instances, when you're being attacked, your ego and your pride swell up like, fuck this. This isn't right.
I know.
Like, this isn't right. I got to fight this. I got to fight. And he was just like, Josh, I understand. I've been there. I'm going through it. I've been, you know, like, here's the thing, though. what's the cost?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking emotional.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking on your family.
Yep.
I'm talking about on your current business.
Yep.
Like, and all this, I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
And it's a tough pill to swallow.
Incredible.
I ended up, so in those instances, the lawyers only win. You yeah. and I don't win. And by yeah. the way, if you guys are listening to this and you're in business, it's not a matter of if you
it's
get sued.
When.
It's when you yes. get sued. You know that.
Yep.
So, but he would get like those people that have been there and done that and have gone through those certain instances that can speak wisdom into your life and help you swallow that tough pill that you don't want to swallow because your pride's in the way. Man, it's everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that there's a better resource in... You know, there's a saying in a certain group of men where one teaches another, right? And then that one teaches another. Brian being able to speak that to you, and he's our age. I mean,
he's younger than me.
Yeah. I mean,
you're younger than me. So.
Yeah. He's older than me. Brian is older than me. I'm going to say that a lot. Brian's older than me. You know, there's been instances where our peers have heard something from outside and brought it into our bubble. And then we are able to take it, speak it outside of our bubble, and it's knowledge that we're passing around, it's experiences. But a lot of that is thinking outside of something, outside of a book, outside of something. When you're climbing that mountain that we keep referring to, and we'll probably refer to it a bunch more, it's not that you don't look back. You know that you're higher up, and you know that if the fall happens, it's going to hurt a lot more than if you're at the bottom. But you can't be scared of that, right? And you're going to have those things where, you know, you saying, hey, it's not if you're going to get sued, it's when. That might be enough for people to be like, yeah, I'm not climbing, right? Forget it. But if you know that and you still start trekking up that thing, then you know that it's possible. It could be there. It could be a big-ass boulder that comes rolling down that sucker and knocks you out of the way. But the upper echelon individuals that are up on that mountain have had to dodge those already. They've had the same fears of falling down the same way you have. And they're up there. They are there. So if they are there, they know. They know how to avoid it, how to not avoid it, but how to deal with it. And I think that you don't intentionally mean to start climbing the mountain when you get in business for yourself. But once you get partway up, you realize this is my challenge. Like, this is my challenge. This is what my personal legend is to climb this thing. And a lot of other people have decided to take this on. And in order for me to get there, I can't do it the old way, like I used to, just me on my back, whatever. These guys have ropes tied to each other, pulling each other up, telling each other where to put their hands so they
cheering each other on.
Yeah, cheering each other on. Like you were just talking about that. I think in some moments when I am with Brian, I'm more proud of what he has done than what he has, because he sees so much farther mm-hmm. ahead his own goals. But we have been places, and literally I've had to pull him behind a pillar and be like, holy shit, dude, this is our life. Like, look at what you're doing, right? And then there's other times where I'll call him and be like, dude, I don't think I can do this. He's like, do what? You've already done it. Like, what are you even talking about? And it's all perspective, but it's us cheering each other on. All of my friends, in my mind, they ask me a lot, like, why I do what I do, why I keep going, why we keep pushing. I've already built Blacktop Banter into more than what we all thought it would be, but I have visions and dreams of more. And I'm like, when I get to the end, I want all of them to be there, and I want us all to be holding up a glass of champagne and being like, that was a fun run,
and we did an adventure.
Yeah, and it was an adventure, and look at us, and now we figured it out, right? And I still feel young. Like, I'm a lot younger than Brian, right? We went over that. I still feel really young, but I'm starting to see my friends, like Brian and a group of close men that I've had with me, I'm starting to see them traject towards that moment. And it's not a question of, are we going to get there? It's a question of how smooth is the ride going to be, right? Like, how fast are we going to get there? What are we going to ride in? Like, what's it going to look like along the way? Because we are starting to enjoy the journey a lot more now, even though it's getting more difficult, right? Which is a dichotomy, which you wouldn't think when you're on the outside looking in, but that's because I'm hyped. Like, I've seen videos of you in front of people talking a lot more, doing public speaking, and I've seen you in Vegas, right? Mm-hmm. Dude, that velvet top blazer you had on with your suit was savage. And that
I got a great tailor,
dude. I noticed that as well. Lately, I'm wearing more, right? We're getting out, and I'm like, okay, dude, the backwards hat isn't suitable when you're wearing a nice jacket and pants with your suit. I'm like, okay, cool, I get it. But that gets me excited, man, because I'm watching people. I'm in this atmosphere of people who have checked out of the sheep zone or the matrix, pulled themselves out, and we're in this cylinder moving up, and I'm watching them achieve their dreams and push towards the goals that are making them better people and improving their lives and making the people around them proud. And I'm like, give me all of that, because you can't buy that on a shelf. You aren't taught that in school. You aren't taught that that's what you're supposed to gear towards in life. It's like this, shroud that gets uncovered, and you're like, oh, this is what makes life good. Mm-hmm. This is what it's about. Okay, let's go. Yeah. Right. And these big things that would have crushed you before don't crush you as much, because you know that that's part of the journey. It can't kill you. Right. They can't take your name. Like, you, thankfully, you live in America. You get to try again.
Yeah.
If you fall down, you get to try again. And you're not going to be the same person you were before. You have all this knowledge, all this experience, all these connections, all this know-how to
from fast climbing.
Track. Yeah. From climbing. Yeah.
And by the way, it's, I'm not getting asked to speak because I'm a great entrepreneur or I'm a great leader. That's not why I'm being asked to speak right now. I'm being asked to speak because I am those two things, mm-hmm. and I got kicked the fuck down the mountain.
Oh, yeah.
And I picked myself back up.
Yep.
I didn't fall down. I got kicked down.
Yeah.
I got stabbed in the front and stabbed in the back.
Oh, yeah.
By a person that I recruited and developed and the company that I had sweat and blood for my entire life.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what people resonate with.
They want to know that if they get kicked down or if they fall down, they can pick themselves up too. And I'm an example of that. So my pain is now a gift to them.
Correct.
I'm best equipped to help the person that I used to be, right? So to help them. But here's the thing. Like, it wasn't even a choice to pick myself back up. It wasn't even a choice.
Right.
Like,
what else are you going to do?
Right. But a year after this, I had a guy that my dad recruited in 95.
Yep.
Take me to lunch. And he goes, dude, I've been watching you. I just got to say that I'm so proud of you. He goes, and by the way, him and I like very rarely speak or see each other. We belong to the same country club. That's about it. But he takes me to lunch and he goes, I'm so proud of you. What you went through, what they did to you, most people wouldn't have gotten up from.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there going like, I didn't have a choice. Mm-hmm. I got four kids looking at me. And what type of example would I have set if I chose to stay down, chose to take the buyout and mail it in and, chill and live off that money for however long.
Yeah. Yeah. You have, I tell people the story a lot. Like, to me, success was, achieved in my mind because I was never told, hey man, you can do amazing things. I was never around people to see amazing things. The best influence I had in that regard was my friend, Nick. His family owns a huge construction company, road construction company in the next town over, and I would go to their house, right? I grew up in a single wide mobile home to this town over that way. When I went there, dude, there was a white brick mansion, like that beige kind of awesome color brick. They had a pool, it was up on a hill. His dad had an expansive library. I was like, dang, dude, this is awesome, right? And never was it, I don't like you because you have this. It was, how do I get this?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I want this. So I never really wanted that, but I wanted a form of that. And that happened when I was 25 or so, 26. I got to where as long as I just did that, I would have that forever. But I was 26, Josh. I fully expect to live at least at that point until I was 60. Right? And I was like, dude, I'm going to do this for the next 30, 35, 40 years. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to go out, make Blacktop, make it black, make money, pay bills, come back, and do this on repeat. Nah, I don't think so. I feel like I've been around forever already, and I'm only 25, 26. This ain't going to work for me, dude. I got to figure something else out. So I challenged myself, right, and start doing different things, and that it led me on a journey and forced me to put myself out there. I was an introvert, not really ashamed of who I was, but just embarrassed because of what people thought about my last name, where I come from. I'm dark, right? Color of my skin. Never was really fit or whatever. So I had this thing of like, I just wanted to be liked. So I stayed really chill.
So that, you keep a great tan in the winter.
Though, oh, I totally keep a good
pasty
tan.
White guy.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I'd be jealous. Yeah. well, that's because I'm taking trips, I guess, here and there. But yeah, for sure. And that's the thing is like, I had to come out of that in order to be that. On that journey, stuff happened that literally would kill a man, right? Where it makes him question if this is worth it, why he's here. He shouldn't have done this, shouldn't have did that. And it affects your relationships. It affects your kids and everything. And you're like, oh my gosh. So as I got going, I had a great mentor. He owned the largest asphalt maintenance company in Wisconsin. And he has only offered me 10 pieces of advice. I can call him at any time, but I don't go to him unless it's stuff that he's way up the conveyor belt, man. He's standing on the top of the flag. I don't go to him unless I absolutely have to, but I went to him in this regard and he was like, you have to make it. He's like, are you happy now? And I was like, yeah, it's me. I got a couple employees I hired during the season and I'm good. He's like, do you need to make as much money as I make? I'm like, I would like to. He said, you have a path here. Either you stay here and you be happy in the regard of everybody else, or you go this route and it's going to hurt, but you're going to be happy where very few have ever been happy, and you're going to pay a cost. It's going to happen. You make the choice. And I knew I couldn't stay there at that mm-hmm. point. I was like, dude, I can't do it. So I end up becoming this person and going along and excuse me, I put myself in situations, put myself out on social media. And we were just talking about this before, right? Before we got on here, immediately people who will not turn the camera around on themselves, put their thought outs and stand by them are the first ones to come at you in the mm-hmm. comment section. Right. Mainly because they live across the country. Here's the thing. I've built a business. I can go wherever. Let's have the conversation in person. How about that? We'll see how you are when I'm sitting in front of you and we have this conversation.
You mean the 400-pound dude eating cheeseburgers in his mom's basement?
Or just the guy that never left his hometown, built a seal coating business, and thinks that he knows how every seal coating situation or business works in the entire world, right? It's the same thing, dude. And for me, if I wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have surrounded myself with upper echelon individuals and people who take the time out like your guy did, who have been on that track and seen, hey, that would have devastated a guy. Mm-hmm. That would have devastated a man, but you came back from it. It's because of that journey that you decided to go on. You didn't have another choice. You had already went down that route. It wasn't the normal trajectory that everyone else was going to. You wanted more and wanted to achieve more. And that's why you can't stay down. Like I was telling you earlier, there's guys that, hey, it's Marvin's. It's like to me, it's like a wrestling match, WWE, and they're like, hey, I need the guy that has like this finisher. And the finisher is, hey, I've been beat down to death. I'm having emotional and relationship issues and spiritual issues. I don't know my purpose. Marvin's time. All right, tag him in. He's good. And then I'll beat up on it for a while until it's somebody else's turn. But like when I get asked to speak, it's mainly about the larger philosophical thing that people have this pulling back and forth with. Hey, I'm starting to have some success. I'm starting to get money. And I was told that that was what was going to make me happy. Right. And same thing. I was told along my journey, hey, you're going to get to here before you're ever happy again. I have a unique trajectory where I was very aware because of those conversations. Once I became out into the open and seeked enlightenment of those pivotal moments in my trajectory. So yes, I could have just focused on getting to where Jerry, my mentor, was, and it always been about money, and I probably could have done that really well, but I wanted to mitigate what he had talked about in between, and that made me step back and meditate, right, and relax about only focusing on that being my prosperity and my abundance is what's in the bank account, focusing on everything else all the way through. The byproduct of that has been being a good person, being sharing about what has happened to me, my thoughts, being positive and speaking and pouring into people and speaking life has made the bank account grow anyways.
Hey, right? Let's talk about that meditation real quick, because you got a lot of blue collar people listening.
Yeah.
All right. So this is going to sound weird to a lot of them.
Trust me. If they spoke to me, they've heard it probably before.
But here's what I'm saying. It doesn't have to be meditation. It has to be silence.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it could be a ruck. It could be a walk. It could be a run. It could be a prayer.
Yeah.
It could be you in a room staring at a Michael Jordan puzzle. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
What you need is silence to listen to what God has to tell you.
Yeah.
Because when I'm when I was going through my grief, those 6 months, I would call it, in 2021, June 16th is when I was terminated. And my whole world comes crashing down. I lose my company, 250 people, revenue, benefits, traditions, everything.
Yep.
I'm like, all right, I'm going to take the summer off. Because when am I ever going to, like, I'm not even going to explore any other option. When am I going to get that back with my kids?
For sure.
Never. So had a great summer with the kids. But as soon as they go back into school, I'm going batty because I'm a type A entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need to do something. I'm not built to sit on my hands.
Yeah.
And financially, we're fine because I was in the financial industry. If I wasn't taking my own advice, I was a fool. So we're fine financially. And I knew a buyout was coming as soon as we negotiated. But the thing was that it was a blessing, even though I was going batty, was I was forced to deal with my grief.
Mm-hmm.
I was forced to deal with all the issues and emotions that I had, and I was able to dream.
Yeah.
So I'm smoking a cigar on my patio, and I'm in solitude, and I'm thinking, and I'm dealing with the grief, and I'm dreaming about the future. But you don't get that clarity. So a lot of people are like, well, what would I do to take the next steps? How do I lean into God's word? How do I, like, sit?
Yeah. Be quiet.
Be quiet.
Be still.
And listen.
Yeah.
You know, listen, or, you know, whether it's listen to a podcast, whether it's listen to a mentor, whether it's have a conversation with a friend, it doesn't end there. If something like resonates in your soul, bring that back up in your silence.
Yeah.
Right. So I told the guy yesterday that was exploring doing some coaching with me. I said he was going through issues like, I never feel satisfied. I was like, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, that's normal. You're an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Right? That's totally going
to
happen.
So one of my mentors, one of your mentors, Ed Milet, talks about blissful dissatisfaction. Yeah. He had never heard that term. I was like, all right, next time you're either meditating, cold plunging, whatever you do in silence, I want you to think about blissful dissatisfaction. And he's like, all right. And so I'm waiting to hear the report back. But like, that's what you got to do. When something resonates in your soul and you got this issue going on, you need silence. What we typically, especially us type A men, do is get busy.
Oh, for sure.
We get busy. We go do a bunch of stuff. We put a bunch of stuff on our to-do list. We add things to our plate. No.
Yeah.
Do the opposite of that.
Yeah. We do that, or you do what the world wants you to do. You drink to forget it. You take a pill to deal with grief or whatever. My reaction was, which I explained this when I was on your podcast, right? Like, I was like, dude, my marriage, which we just came back from vacation, my wife Kelly and I and the kids and whatever, like, that's what has suffered the most, because I became somebody through this process that neither one of us expected to be. And it's not that it's bad, it's just different than what the expectation was. So I had to sort out how to deal with all of this, but also stay on my trajectory, because my dream and where I am going is a non-negotiable, right? And I can control that, but it's a non-negotiable. If I give up on that, I'm falling back down the mountain and I'm laying there with everyone else, and I have to be there for the rest of my life. I can't do that. Thankfully, my wife Kelly knows that about me, right? But I had to do the same thing. I would go to lay down, and these guys are having sleepless nights. They're figuring out, oh, I just take ZQL or Ambien or whatever. And I wouldn't do that. I went online, I think it was like Black Friday, and I bought a hot tub, one of those inflatable ones. I put it on my back deck so that in the wintertime, all I had to do was step up. I know everyone's talking about cold plunges and shit. Nope, I'm not doing that. I literally could step out the back sliding door of the house onto the deck and into the hot tub. And I'm telling you, it would be midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., nothing would go on. It would be in the quiet of the outside, moon's out, stars out, and literally I would have conversations, whoever you want to say it's with, myself, my conscience, the Holy Spirit, infinite intelligence, our creator, the universe, whatever. But I knew that if I didn't do that, the alternative was going to be I was going to numb that somehow, and that the problem wouldn't get solved, right? I would just have to keep numbing it forever. It's like taking ibuprofen if you got a toothache or whatever. It doesn't solve the problem that you have.
Make it go away.
No, like, it's going to come back.
It comes back bigger, too. Bigger. It's like sweeping problems under the rug.
It gets worse, dude.
Eventually, you trip over the rug.
For sure. And that's what I knew that that's what's going to happen. I'm insightful enough and enlightened enough to know that's what's going to happen. So I did the same thing. Took my time there. Well, first of all, I was blessed to be able to look up and most of the time see the stars and be like, look at this expanse of what was here, whether it was created or not. You know, if you want to debate that, fine. It's there regardless. And it's glorious. And here I am, this tiny little speck. And thankful enough, I've had experiences on missions trip in Guatemala and whatnot to know that my worst days are the days that they would die for, right? So I'm like, okay, you ain't going to whine about this because no one's going to give a crap. And if they do, you know better anyways. So you have to figure this out and you have to sort these things out. And what ends up happening is you find the best possible trajectory for yourself and the people you care about. And the hard edges buff out on what you need to do. And you need to make difficult choices sometimes. They're hard ones. But in order for you to get the result you want, you have to do it. And you wouldn't find that or come to those conclusions if you didn't take that time to meditate or just be quiet or pray or be still. And I think that's, if no one takes anything away from that, it's the understanding that these guys who have it figured out, who have went through tough shit, they take time to do that, mm-hmm. right? I have a huge quote on my wall, Go All the Way by Charles Bukowski. It's the only thing hanging on the wall in my room. And like when it gets tough, I will look at that thing and read it and read it and read it and be like, okay, you know what you have to do.
Yeah.
Let's figure it out.
Hey, and if you can't figure it out yourself, therapy is not weakness.
Oh, it's absolutely. Strength.
So go seek help, you know. So like what's interesting is, you know, most of us men were raised with that rub dirt on it, don't cry, don't mm-hmm. feel emotions.
Blue collar, man.
Right. Well, even it doesn't matter, but my dad went from blue collar to white collar. Yep. He made that transition and he taught me the same shit. It's because it's that's what his dad taught him.
Yep.
Well, here's the thing. Whether you realize this or not, let me give you it right now. You don't have to continue it just because your dad and grandpa did.
For sure.
You can break the generational curse of that. And you can go seek therapy and you can go seek help and make sure that your kids don't inherit your shit.
Yeah.
And so, and in fact, I would say it's not just, it's a responsibility. It's a duty of you to do that. And don't just say, like, the worst thing you can say is, well, that's the way I was raised, so I'm going to raise you that way. No, it's not. Right. Yeah. So deal with your shit. So I just love, that what you're saying there, and I went through it as well, but therapy is a underrated tool.
Completely.
When you can't figure it out yourself and you still got shit, go seek professional help and don't stop with like one person. Like literally talk to a few to figure out like who do you think is going to be able to help you through that best.
You know where humans came from. At one point we hit each other over the head with clubs to solve problems, right? And like if you had an issue, that's how you did it. Or like even Wild West or whenever. Our brains are designed for survival, primal instinct and survival. If you look outside, we're next to an engineering firm. There's a jiu-jitsu studio here. There's a trucking company there. There's a Edward Jones financial advisor mm-hmm. right here. There's a CPA and a real estate office. Our brains weren't designed to survive in those environments, but that's what we've created as society. So here, our brains are releasing chemicals to deal with what it sees as survival situations, or relationship situations or whatever. And we, being intelligent now, are trying to deal with those things, and you don't have a club anymore. It doesn't mm-hmm. just end because you club it. Now we have to develop it. And for me, being able to talk to somebody or being able to sort issues out with people in a therapeutic state has absolutely been beneficial. That may be, guess what, guys, your necessity now going forward in the environment that we've created. And the blue collar, which I was going to mention, the blue collar bravado of, you know, that, well, we don't do that. We're tough. We're men or whatever. If you hold firm to that and there are problems, you're going to die by those words and you're going to lose everything else around you because you are tough.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, dude. I like being fit and whatnot, but I would much rather be wise than tough.
100%. I want to say, I'll put this in a blue collar way. If your buddy at the bar, it would call you a pussy for going to see therapy. I'll tell it to you like this. They're the pussy for not wanting to deal with their problem.
Mm-hmm. That's why they're there.
Real talk. They're at the bar dealing with their problem.
That's their seat.
That's their numb seat, right? Yep. Yeah, and especially in a local town.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They've been there, and the bartenders all know them, all that different stuff.
They know their drink.
You're not the pussy for seeing therapists.
Yeah,
they're the pussy for drinking their problems away.
Yeah, man. No, it's tough. It's tough to deal with it nowadays. But when you hear our first part of this conversation, that wasn't it. Like, we literally had described a place that I think is bliss on our journey going forward. You know what I mean? It's just putting yourself there, being humble enough to let your guard down there to get there, whether that's in therapy. If you don't want to go talk to a bunch of guys, cool. Go talk to a stranger. Like, that's sitting in a chair that's there for you to
get the poison out.
Yeah, get the poison out. Get starting to work that way. You know, it's tough. And sometimes it's tough talking to the people or the person that is involved in the issue, right? Yeah. But sometimes that's the only people you have too, and it works out that way as well. But it I think a strategy is definitely needed when it goes that way. Thinking about strategy, I would say this has happened to me. I have become my own leader, right? As I explained to you, I grew up a lot different than I am now. I was an introvert. In my mind, something happened where there was this curled up kid. You kind of talked about it earlier, but there's a quote that I have pinned on my wall in the bathroom, right? I only have one thing on each wall. It's in the bathroom. And it says, nobody's coming to save you. Get up, right? I essentially became the person that needed to help that fetal position Marvin that was just like, the world hates me, all this stuff's happening to me. I became my own leader, essentially, and then was like, okay, if I can lead myself out of this, hopefully I can lead others out of this. And I think the problem comes around when you start a group and there's a barrier to entry that's cost effective, but also you're an entrepreneur, so you have to be paid for your time, because as I spoke earlier on, I'm not always available because I do have other priorities. I do have a retirement to get to. I do have a family to provide for. And yes, I do want to attend their events and whatnot as well. But I became my own leader, which I hope, and I would say probably as a byproduct, made me a better leader for the people that are close to me, that are on my team, or in my circle as well. How can people take practical steps towards improving their leadership skills? I know we spoke about it a little bit with books and whatnot and educating yourself, but if they know that's an area they need to improve on, what are some of the practical steps they can take?
Make sure you keep your promises to yourself first and foremost. That's where self-confidence and self-worth comes from. And if you get to self-confidence and self-worth, then you can get to self-efficacy, which is actually the highest calling. You get to self-efficacy, you're leading yourself. And you're probably leading others as well. And so keeping your promises to yourself, I don't care if you say you're going to brush your teeth twice a day.
Yeah.
Like, that's keeping a promise to yourself to brush your teeth twice a day. And then there's bigger things than that, whether it's that daily discipline to work out, whether it's the daily discipline for cold plunge or hot tub in your instance. Whatever you say you're going to do, do it.
Yeah.
That's leading yourself. And then therefore you will expect that in others, and they will see that in you. It's like, well, Marvin does what he says he's going to do. He leads by example in that respect. So if I'm around him, I know that he's going to expect that of me. So I need to start doing that myself as well. Then there's like leadership stuff that you can do as far as getting yourself in a circles, working with people like me, working with different groups that actually, you know, go into a Maxwell event, you know, whatever it may be that you can put yourself in circles to get influenced by. Having a mentor. Mentors and coaches are different things, by the way.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't necessarily, they'll kind of combine them and it's different. Mentor someone that you look up to, someone that's been there in your path. Coach is typically going to hold you accountable and make you better.
Yeah.
Someone that you're paying. A mentor may not be someone that you're paying.
That's
so
true.
But a lot of times people put them in their same bucket and they're not the same.
Mm-hmm.
But both are valuable.
Yeah.
So having a mentor, having a coach, being in some groups that are more peer oriented,
mm-hmm.
Surrounding yourself with people that you aspire to be like. Like, who are those people? Like, writing them out and starting to change your circles, starting to be of value to others instead of just being a taker. Make sure that you're a giver.
Yeah.
Leaders are givers.
Yeah.
And oftentimes I give of my knowledge and wisdom and sometimes intellectual property to people that, you know, I should be charging, but like, it's just,
Yeah.
Like, it's just me. Like, you call me and we have a relationship. Like, I'm just going to give back. Yeah. Now, there will be a breaking point. You call me three times in like a month and be like, hey, you know, I do pay for this. Yeah, I do get paid for this. Like,
yeah.
Yep. But yeah, I'll figure that line out whenever I deem it to be. But there's a lot of different steps they can take to be a better leader. But it all starts with leading yourself first and making sure that you're keeping those promises to yourself.
This is the part of the podcast where most of the time I ask for a general overarching piece of advice, but we're going to skip that, man, because we've had an influx of value in this episode. Where can people find you online, man?
I'm easy. At Josh Kosnick is everything. So KOSNICK, at Josh Kosnick, Instagram, LinkedIn. Facebook.
What about Kairos and whatnot? Where can people find information?
Same, just DM me. Okay. My website's joshkosnick.com and Kairos is on there, so I didn't create a separate website for that. So there's just a drop-down tab if
you weren't
want
joking,
to.
Dude. You are easy. That's the best.
Easy.
Dude,
easy, man. Right, and then if you want to listen to my podcast, which is all on leadership, Spartan Leadership, but yeah, pretty easy on the socials.
Cool, man. Well, dude, we got to have you back at some point. We got to keep doing more
of
this, dude. Because we could have went for a long time. But
yeah, Chris had to come tell us where we were at.
Yeah, he's like, oh, time flew. And we knew that, right, beforehand. Yeah. You were like, I think we spoke for 20 minutes. You're like, dude, we got to get started because we can just go forever on this stuff. And I think that we can go forever on it because of the impact it makes. I have a 12-year-old boy, and absolutely everything I make, in my mind, I think he's going to look back at one day. And I want there to be a lot. I want his kids to be able to look at it. We live in a world where that's possible now. Stuff on the internet probably is never going to die. I do notice the older videos are starting to get more grainy. So I think like Facebook and everywhere is keeping them or like making them less quality so that they can keep their place on the server. But that's why I do it. And the byproduct of me making stuff for Eli and creating content has been being able to create content with guys like you. And bringing your knowledge and your value into these conversations, which my son gets to draw from in my mind in the future. So I'm extremely grateful for you doing that and sharing with us today, man.
Well, it's not just me that's on there. Like, here's the thing. The first reason I started my first podcast, my marketing guy's like, oh, it's going to be great. It's going to position you as a leader in the community. We're going to interview other leaders. Had all the marketing reasons.
Yep.
I said, Chad, love the idea, but here's why I'm going to do it. It's going to create an impact, and my kids will always have my voice.
Yeah. Yep.
So, like, if anything were to happen to me, now I paid death claims. I was a financial advisor, so I paid death claims of under 10-year-olds, 20-something-year-olds, 30-something-year-olds, all the way to 80-something-year-olds.
Yep.
My kids will always have my voice.
Yeah.
So, and that was the reason I did it. It's like legacy-wise. Like, yes, I want to have an impact. Yes, marketing's cool, but my kids will have my voice if anything were to ever happen to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was been my main one too. And I want them, so I thought like something happens to me. And then I started doing this a long time ago. So Eli was probably two when I started, right? And I would put my thoughts out into the world and would make content. And I knew it was shit that guys at the bar would be like, you pussy. Like, why are you saying this shit? Especially around here, because no one did that type of shit. It was guys that I knew from outside of here that were becoming my friends. And I did it so that if something happened to me, there would be something there for my kids to look at and for my grandkids to look at versus having to go on Ancestry and find some piece of paper that was a newspaper clipping of me without me expressing to them, you know, my thoughts and what I wanted for them. So I appreciate you being here and being able to share that with them. And hopefully I've done that for you as well. Josh gave you his insight on leadership today, and there's a lot more where that came from. We'll have to unpack this another day, another time. But he also gave you his social media and where you can find him online. If you have any upcoming events that you may be wanting to go to or whatever, I would encourage you to look and see if Josh is going to be there and speaking. Always great to watch online. As far as Blacktop Banter goes, the Blacktop Banter Success Group information is on our website, blacktopbanter.com/BBSG. We have calls there every month, 3 calls with special guests. And then we have a 24/7 chat group as well as a Google Drive with information and PDFs for you to use as a resource. Our newsletter is on blacktopbanter.com. Right when you get there, there's a sign up. Articles written by contractors in the asphalt industry for contractors in the asphalt industry, as well as articles from your favorite sponsors for Blacktop Banter talking about what they're bringing to the table as well. Also, please be sure to go check out missionimpact.com. Mission Impact is a nonprofit mission in Guatemala where we build fuel-efficient stoves for families down there who can't afford them, give fresh water to people in different communities, build wheelchairs for people who have trouble getting around the terrain there, as well as other projects. So please check that out at missionimpact.com. If you feel like you want to give, please do. If you have questions about it, DM me on that type of stuff. As always, you can find Blacktop Banter on social media at blacktopbanter.com. Josh, I really appreciate you being here, my friend. I
appreciate you having me. It's been fun.
So we talked about leadership, but as always, you can apply this to your world in the asphalt industry. And at Blacktop Banter, we always speak asphalt. Peace. Hey everybody, Marvin here from Blacktop Banter. And if you enjoy the podcast and what we've been bringing to the industry, you can support us through a one-time or recurring donation at blacktopbanter.com. There we have a support tab. You click that and choose your path from there. If you listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please do us a favor and leave a review there for us as well. As always, we speak asphalt, and thanks for your support. This episode of Blacktop Banter is brought to you by Craftbo, the world's leading manufacturer of packaged pavement preservation materials and equipment for the asphalt industry. Learn more at craftbo.com.